Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Yutes. And we are on Yutches Amud Beis by the two dots, discussing machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, says Beis Shammai on Yutches Amud Beis, right by the two dots. Beis Shammai Omer, about eight lines up from the bottom. Beis Shammai Omer ain mochrin. Beis Shammai says, one is not allowed to sell. Sell what? Said the Mishnah back on Yuzayin Amud Beis, a person is not allowed to sell to a Nachri or carry with him or help him up unless the goal of the destination can be reached even before Shabbos. That was Beis Shammai's issue. We spoke about Rashi and the Mishnah, who said the issue is nira, like you're being Messiah him. Maybe it smacks of Amir La'akim if he's acting for you. Obviously, if you sold him something, there's no issue of Amir La'akim. It's his. But the issue is, it's nira, it's a drabbanan, that he looks like he's doing some type of malacha for you, even though he's not really. So, related to that machloka, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yimkar Adam Chefso Lenachri, Velo Yashilenu, person cannot sell something to a non-Jew, Velo Yashilenu, or lend him an object, Velo Yalvenu, or lend him money. So Rashi says elsewhere, the difference between Sheila and Hava is money, and Sheila is objects. Velo Yitin Lo B'matana, or give him a present, Eloka the Sheik Yila Beso, until he could get to his house before Shabbos, or else it will look as if like a non-Jew is doing malacha for a Jew. Rashi says here, Ela Kadesh Yagia, Hanachri Lebeso Mi Ba'od Yom, V'Yavagav DeBididei Katarach, and even though it's his own tircha, it's his own object now, Machmir and Beishamai DeMichlif Bishlucho, Bimichlif, it'll be confusing with had he been your shliach. So you might say, isn't that like a Maris Ayin of a Durabanan in a Chinami? We have a concept of Maris Ayin not only by Dinim D'Oraisa, we have it by Dinim D'Rabbanan as well. Yeridea, the Shulchan Aruch discusses, if somebody has milk, power of milk, in our day and age, soy milk, or any other type of power of milk, having that on the table at a fleshic meal. So is there any issue of Maris Ayin? Or Bizman Azeh, everybody knows there's power of milk and there's coffee rich, whatever it's called. And therefore there's no issue. Or should you put out the container to make sure everybody knows what it is? But the question that the postkin there discussed, the Raman, the Shach, is even if it's an issue of Durabanan, even if it's an issue of chicken and milk, which at most is a Durabanan, is there any issue of Maris Ayin there, that the Ramah says you have to leave that it was came from a source of the nuts, milk from a same source, so you have to put the nuts on the table to make sure that they know exactly where the milk came from. It's very halach l'maisa. So anybody goes to any type of simcha, right? But in a cup, there's a milk. So a lot of times we don't have that because we know that there's power of milk. But it's a very big issue. But again, here, this is another example of Maris Ayin of a Durabanan. So it looks like a Durabanan. As I said yesterday, most Rishonim hold that Amir La'akim itself would only be in a Durabanan. So it's Maris Ayin that he's doing something for you. That is still Usser, according to Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no. Kedeshe Yagia Labayis Aslamach L'choma. You don't have to give him enough time to get to his own house, as long as he could get to the house that is closest to the wall in the city that he is going to. Right? Because theoretically, he could leave it in that spot. Leave it in that house, so that's as long as you have to give him. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kedesha Yetzi Mi Pesach Beso. No, as long as he could get out of your house. As long as he can get out of your house before Shabbos, that's the only time you have to give him. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hein Hein Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva is not saying a third shita, but he's really saying the shita that he thinks Beis Hillel holds. Lo Bar Rabbi Akiva El Lafarish Divrei Beis Hillel. So there are three shitas, but really it's two shitos according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. That third shita is really Beis Hillel's shita. Okay. We continue. Tana Rabbana, next related machlokas. Beis Shammai Omer. Once we're talking about selling things to a non-Jew, so we talk about something that does not have to do with Shabbos. Tana Rabbana. Beis Shammai Omer lo yimkar adam chemso lenachri. A person is not allowed to sell his chametz to a non-Jew. But this isn't saying that the minhag already was thousands of, right, 1500 years ago to sell the chametz before Pesach. This is talking about selling a non-Jew anything before Pesach. You can't sell him chametz if it's very close to Pesach. Why? Ela imkein yodeya bo sheyichle kodem haPesach. Unless you know that it will be finished and destroyed before Pesach. Beis Shammai's shita is that the chametz needs to be destroyed before Pesach, not only from your house removed, but has to be destroyed. The language, this shita also comes up in Psachim Adaf Chafalev, towards the beginning of the second parak. So, says the Rashi there, where this shita Beishamai comes up, Kodem, you can't tell them Kodem Pesach, Sheyavo HaPesach, De Kesavri, Mitzvah Olav Levaro Min Ha'olam, Velo Shehiyeh Kayam. The mitzvah is to destroy the chametz. Can't have chametz, not only if you don't have to go around and find all the chametz in the world and go to bakeries and burn the bakeries down, chas v'shalom. It's not what we're talking about. It means if you have chametz, if I have any chametz, and it's within a certain proximity to Pesach, I have a chiv to destroy it. And that is my chiv, according to Beis Shammai. Or Beis Olamim, no, kol zman shemutar la'achlo, mutar la'mokro. As long as you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to sell it. You can eat chametz until Erev Pesach, so I'm allowed to sell it then. Meaning the issue is just getting it out of my rishus, not getting it out of the world. This machlokes might relate to the discussion of the achron. I mean, we don't pass on like Beis Shammai at all. We don't pass on like Beis Shammai. But within our shita of Beis Hillel, that you just have to get it out of your house, there still is a machlokes how to understand the mitzvah of tashbisu, or how do we get rid of our chametz. The Minchas Chinuch discusses this at length. We've discussed on it in the past. How much is tashbisu action-oriented mitzvah versus a result-oriented mitzvah? Is tashbisu purely just to make sure there's no chametz in your house? Is that's all that it's about? And as long as I don't have chametz in my house, I fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu? Or do I say no? There is a result, but there's also an element of a ma'isa mitzvah. I must search out and destroy. Search and destroy any chametz that I have. And I might even say, like the Rambam says, that you should buy, I mean, not like the Rambam, but like the Minchas Chinuch discusses, the Rambam says something similar, but the Minchas Chinuch says that you should have to buy chametz before Pesach in order to destroy it, in order to get rid of it. Because it's an action-based mitzvah, not just a result-oriented mitzvah. So that relates to this. It's not exactly the same, because we don't pass on Beis Shammai, but Beis Shammai is focused on the chefza. It's focused on the object, that the object must be destroyed, while Beis Hillel is no. Focused on the person. Just get rid of it. Make sure you don't have it in your rishus. But that is machlokes. That is a chakira that the Minchas Chinuch mentions. He, the Minchas Chinuch, does relate it to the machlokes tanoim. The beginning of that second parak in Pesachim, Daf Chafalav, quotes the machlokes that we know, the Rabbanan hold that how do you have to get rid of your chametz? However you want. Throw it to the wind, throw it into the sea, however you want. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, Ein bi your chametz ela b'sreifa. You have to destroy the chametz, burn the chametz. And we're machmer for that lechachila. The minhag of burning the chametz is like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why we burn our chametz, because it's the comparison to Nosar, the Shulchan Aruch quotes. So that's why we burn our chametz. But what is that machlokas about conceptually? Why should I have to destroy it? And why should I have to do whatever, okay, whatever I want, just throw it to the wind and throw it into the river? Again, the Minchas Chinuch says that's the goof of the machlokas, Maisa versus Totsah. Rabbi Yehuda says it's focused on the Maisa, and you have to do the most demonstrative act of destruction, which is burning it, if it's possible. Unless it's Shabbos. But the Rabbanan say, no, the point is just to get rid of it. So it doesn't really matter how you get rid of it. So that's the machlokas within Beis Hillel Shita. They have to get rid of it, whether you have to destroy it or just get rid of it. Anyway, that's the machlokas, the discussion of the Achronim, which relates to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel right here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, who is a Beis Shammai man in this case, Rabbi Yehuda, who is following the Shita Beis Shammai, says, Kutach habavli v'chol minei kutach, Kutach habavli, which was a type of mixture, a dip, that there was some chametz ingredients in, but it wasn't so edible by itself. It was just a dip. So kutach habavli v'chol minei kutach, all of those types. Also limkor lamin yom kodem ha-pesach. You can't sell it for 30 days before Pesach. Why? Because these types of dips stay in the fridge for a while. If you have a type of food, after a couple of days, there's a turnover and it's finished. But by a dip, right, you could have a dip in your fridge for much longer than other food because you only use a little bit at a time. So says Rabbi Yehuda within the Shita Beis Shammai that you have to be worried about this for a whole 30 days before, because even if it's within 30 days, it's a good chance that it will still be there on Pesach, and that's a problem according to Beis Shammai's Shita. Why 30 days? Why 30 days before Pesach? Is that just assumed to be the turnover rate for dips of kutach? Or is there some halachic significance? So 30 days, as we know, Rashi says here, there is halachic significance. Why 30 days? What if it's 40 days? And I assume the dip might be there even for 40 days. Still, Beis Shammai would not worry about it. Because before 30 days before Pesach, Pesach is not on the radar. I don't have to focus on it. Rashi, Shloshim Yom, Mishem Maschilin Lidrosh Behilchas HaPesach, chala asharas Pesach alav. Once I start darshaning the halachas of Pesach, shol and vidarshin, that's when the asharas of Pesach kick in. So there are a number of halachas and shas, which behind them is this halacha of shol and vidarshin. Right, the Mishnah says in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Tes, the sugya of Sukkah Yeshana, an old sukkah. What's that sugya? Do I have to have kavana when I build my sukkah? Do I have to have lishma? When I put tzitzis on a baguette, I have to have lishma. When I write a sefer Torah, I have to have lishma. What about when I build a sukkah? Do I have to have lishma? L'shei mitzvah sukkah. Do I have to do that? So we paskin, no. But it's really a machlokas. Beis Shammai says that if you build a sukkah a couple of months before sukkahs, you have to have kavana. And if you don't have kavana, it's called a sukkah yeshana and it's pasul. And Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says, as long as you built it, l'shem shade, l'shem tzel, it's a kosher sukkah. Sukkah Yishon is not a problem. But even Beis Shammai agrees that if the sukkah is built within 30 days of Pesach, of Sukkis, 30 days of Sukkis, it's a kosher sukkah. Why? Stam das before Pesach is, before Sukkis, why I keep saying that, because we're just talking about Kutach HaBavli, Stam das before Sukkis is on Sukkah, and therefore it's automatically Lishma. Automatically Lishma. Yeah, the Yerushalmi, Tosas there close to Yerushalmi, that even according to Beis Hillel, you should do something. If you have the Sukkah there that was built before 30 days. Okay, but either way, Rashi there says again, why 30 days according to Beis Shammai? What's magic? Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag. So you see there are bases of other halachos of 30 days before a holiday, based on the fact that there is a halacha of Shoal and Vidarshin, but halachas of the Chag 30 days before. This is all a problem then for the Shita of the Ran. What's the Shita of the Ran? There's a sugya that's much discussed. We discussed this past years, and that is there are two Gemaras. One Gemara, Msachim, and elsewhere says, as we just said, Shoal and Vidarshin 30 days before. But if you look at the last line of Maseches Megillah, the Gemara there says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakein, that we are Shoal Vidoresh B'inyanu Shel Yom on the Yom. On Pesach we talk about Pesach. On Sukkot we talk about Sukkot. And so is it 30 days before, or is it on the day of? So many different answers given. Halacha versus Agada. Other answers as well. But the Ran says the Iker Din is just on the day itself. There is no such Chiyuv 30 days before. No, there's no Chiyuv Shalom Adarshan. The Ran just says, well, you know what Shalom Adarshan means? For a detail in Hilchas Talmud Torah, if two people come to ask the rabbi a question, and they get there at the exact same time, and one of them asks a question about, I don't know, it's 2 days before Pesach, and one of them asks a question about Tisha B'Av, and one of them asks a question about Pesach, the rabbi should answer the Pesach question first. Why? Because it's already in the Avira of Pesach, 30 days before. Says the Ran, that's all it is. Shoel and Vidarshin is only about Shoel Ke'inyan. Somebody asked that Shaila. So that's a very, very limited approach to the idea of Shalom Vidarshan. The first Bir Halacha in Hilchas Pesach quotes as Ran and says, Pashtus, it seems to be against a lot of sources. Because there seems to be a lot of positive halachas that are based on this. Not just because Shoel Ke'inyan. Right? It seems to be, like our Gemara is one example. According to Beis Shammai, 30 days before is significant. For why? Because of Shalom Vidarshan, it's already in the Avira of Pesach. And therefore, it's difficult to say it's such a limited halacha. Right? We also know from Hilchas Bedikas Chametz, if I leave my house, do I have to do a bedika on it? So it depends if it's within 30 days before Pesach. If I have a summer home, and I'm not going to be back in the summer home until the following summer, do I have to do a Bedikas Chametz there? No, because I'm not, it's 30 days before 30 days. It's therefore, there wouldn't be a Chovas Bedika at that stage. Okay, we continue. Tana Rabbana. Nosnim mizonos lifnei hakelev bechatzer. If I have a dog in a yard, in a chatzer, I'm allowed to put mizonos in front of him to eat. Nutlo. Why a dog? Why do we say a dog? Rashi. Rami alel azunu. Because a dog, you have more achrayas to feed. What's Rashi talking about? We know the halacha generally is, it's going to come up again, halacha is that I'm only allowed to feed animals on Shabbos that are incumbent, it's incumbent upon me to feed them. My pets! I'm allowed to feed my pet on Shabbos. But I'm not allowed to feed other people's animals. Why? Gzeirah shem yatsud. I might come to trap them. Chazal made a gzeirah drabanan. Dogs are different in halacha. Dogs one might be able to feed even if it's not yours. Why? The Gemara seems to think, I don't know if this is true bizman hazeh, but at least in a certain sense, the Gemara later on, the Gemara says, on daf, where's the Kufnun Gimel? The Gemara says later on, Kufnun hei amabez, there's nobody poorer than a dog. So the Gemara says, third to last blot in the Masechta. Less, Amar Papa, less da anya mikalba, less da asya mikhazira. Nobody's poorer than a dog and nobody's richer than a pig. Okay, we'll get to that. I think we mentioned the Vilna Gaon shot on that in the past. But a dog has saris, right? Nobody feeds a dog. Right, so that's why you're always allowed to feed a dog because it's always considered mizonos on alecha. Or the Meiri here says, no, they're getting schar. They're still raking it in. Still raking it in. Lo yachratz kelav lishono, says the dog. He didn't bark on the way out of Mitzrayim. The year shapa kelav sheino shalonu mutter, v'chein reisi lagaon, mean the chsivul kelav tashlichun, that's when nevela goes to a dog. Inami bischar, lo yachratz kelav lishono. It's the Meiri right here. So either way, that's why you're allowed to feed the dog. But our issue isn't the issue of Seda, of Chazir Shem Yatzid. What about the issue of switching Rishuyos? So you have to be worried about this. We're talking about being worried about what a non-Jew does with your stuff right before Shabbos. What about on Shabbos? What about a dog? So, you're allowed to put food in front of a dog. Bachatzer, nuts, lova, yatzah, in his kakon, lova. If the dog goes out, you don't have to be worried about it. You don't have to try to prevent the dog from going out. Kayotze bo, nos de mizonos, lofrei, nachri bachatzer. You're allowed to give a non-Jew food in the chatzer, not sluviyatzin and skakalo. And again, you don't have to be worried about what he does. Hasul amali, what's the word? Hainuach. Both the same thing. Both the dog and the non-Jew do not rely on you for food. It's not considered your action. So therefore, what's the difference? What do you need both? So ma'od the tema, hai rami alei, v'hai lo rami alei. Now you might say there's a difference. But it's your food. So you might think a Jew's food, you have to be worried about that food going out of the Rishus on Shabbos, not just yourself. Right? We're going to have Be'ez Hashem and Mesechas Erevin. Items that your kelim might have the same tchum as you do. So your items are somewhat connected to you. So you might have thought that if you have a chiyuv to feed this item, this dog, so then fine. But a non-Jew, tell him to go get food somewhere else. I'll give you food the rest of the days of the week. Kamash malan, even by a non-Jew, it is okay. By the way, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shin chaf dalid, sif lamed aleph. Shin chaf dalid, sif, the Mishnah Brura quotes in sif lamed aleph. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says, this is the halacha about you're not allowed to feed animals that do not rely on you for food. Lefnei dvorim, lefnei yoni shovach, yoni aliyah. But lefnei your own animals, so then you're allowed to. V'chein lefnei kelev, shemizonos savalecha, because his mizonos is upon you. Mishnah Brura. V'afilu kelev she'ina magadlu b'beisa mutter. The mitzvah ksas gam kein litein lo mizonos. Kvosh amr chazal, chasak adesh baruch olav, because mizonos amuatin. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes, as we've spoken about on Shabbos many times, probably every year in the shul, Yesh noagin litein chitim lefnei ha'ofos b'Shabbos Shira. Some put out bread for the birds, Shabbos Shira, as a schar, because they ate up the food, the man that Dasan HaNavirim put out to trip up Moshe. The Eino Nachon, it's incorrect, says the Magen Avraham. Shari Emzonos Analecha. You want to do the minag? Wonderful, put it out before Shabbos. But not on Shabbos, because that is a gzera of Seda. Good. Tan Rabbanan. Next discussion. Again, all having to do with issues of non-Jews before Shabbos, on Shabbos, etc. Lo yaskir adam kelev lenachar be'erev Shabbos. A person should not rent out their kelim to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos. B'dalad u'be'emotr. But on Wednesday and Thursday is fine. Just Friday is a problem. Wednesday and Thursday is fine. Kayotzebo, ein mishach negros beyond nachri be'erev Shabbos. You can't send mail with a non-Jew on a Friday. B'dalru behe mutter, Wednesday and Thursday is mutter. Amr olav arav yosi ha-kohen, v'yamri la arav yosi ha-chassid, shelo nimsa ksav yado beyond nachri me'olam. He never sent mail with a non-Jew. Me'olam, he never sent it with a non-Jew because he didn't want him to possibly take it on Shabbos. What's the issue here? If I put mail in the mailbox, in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have any issues, Baruch Hashem, there's no mail on Shabbos. But in Chutz La'aretz, am I allowed to put something in the mailbox on Friday? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to give it to a non-Jew? Right, lo yaskar adam kelev lenachar be'erev Shabbos. So, what's the issue here? What's the underlining isser? Rashi, first skinny line. Lo yaskir, dinire shemaskiro lo litzarach ha-Shabbos. It appears that you're hiring him out for Shabbos. And therefore what? You're not allowed to hire him out? Why? Because if he's working with your kelim, but we don't pass in Shvisa's kelim is right? We have that. but it could be that he's working for you. You're not allowed to have a non-Jew. So according to Rashi, it sounds like an Amir La'akam type of halacha, which might, again, just to get to the Lemaisa case, which might only make a difference if you really care about it being done on Shabbos. Meaning, if I don't care when this mail is delivered, then generally we assume that is mutter. If I put a letter in the mailbox on Friday, and I don't care when it gets there, it can get there on Wednesday. The person might choose to do it on Shabbos, that's his issue, then that could be mutter. But if I'm overnighting something on Friday afternoon, and I know about it, that's a problem. Because that's forcing them to do it on Shabbos for me, and that could be a problem of Amir La'akam. But that's Rashi. Maskira lo l'tzarech Shabbos. If you look in Tosfos here has a different shot. Tosfos says, what's the issue here? First time this comes up in our Masechta. Tosfos lo yaskir. Ein lefaresh. Don't say it's because of Shvisas Kalim. Because we don't pass on that Beshamai. Right? So it can't be Shvisas Kalim. But he continues and says, "V'aser fourth line, l'fisha nireh k'notel schar b'shabbos, notel schar Shabbos, schar Shabbos, schar Shabbos is an issur d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to make money on Shabbos, something purely for Shabbos, or have something done for you. So it looks like a schar Shabbos type of situation here, because he is giving you a benefit directly on Shabbos." He says at the end, "V'dafka l'sochro d'mechzik k'notel schar b'shabbos." Although she'ela sharya, or hiring him out is a problem, but she'ela is not a problem because here you're getting a certain benefit. That's the sugya of schar Shabbos. Tosfos says it looks like schar Shabbos. It's not really. You're not doing malacha, getting something, getting paid for it. But that is what it looks like. Schar Shabbos is an important discussion. Comes up again much later in the Masechta, and that is the issur d'rabbanan. Again, let's be clear: of if I do work on Shabbos and I get paid for it. It's a drabban of gzeir shem yichtov, included in the halachas of business. So therefore, if there is somebody, let's say I get a babysitter. Let's say I never get a babysitter. I get it one Friday night, I want to go to a shalom zachu with my wife, and I get a babysitter, and the babysitter comes just for Friday night. The day after Shabbos, they come to me, and that's an isser drabbanan for me to give it as lifnei iver, and it's a drabbanan for the one who takes it. What has to be done? The big heter is called behavla'a, as we'll have later. And that means swallowed up. If they work for me during the week and on Shabbos, not a problem, because I can pay them for both. As long as it's not labeled specifically as Shabbos, it's not a problem. A caterer is allowed to get paid, because they're not only getting paid for the work on Shabbos, they're getting paid for before Shabbos, and setting up and making the food. A bal korei, a bal tefila, a bal tokeya, who practices beforehand, before Shabbos, not a problem, as long as they do some type of work before Shabbos, and then one is paid behavla'a. That's an important discussion of Schar Shabbos. I saw the Chashuk Echemed here has a question. Is it Schar Shabbos if you get paid for doing nothing? Passive. What's the case? The case was as follows. Sheila, Reuven had a Baal Simcha. It was his son's Afraf. And he brought in a professional chazan to daven for the Amud. Problem is, there was a normal, regular chazan that was there. The regular chazan that was there. The chazan kavua says, no, I want to daven. So the father says, you know what? I'll pay you not to daven. I want my guest to daven. I'll pay you what you're worried about. You're getting paid. I'll pay you not to daven. So that's Schar Shabbos? Paying not to do so. Again, if he's getting paid for the whole month and they're practicing. But let's say, his kabeid v'sheba v'eschav v'al tavod, v'tikabel mamon, avur ze yish ladin aschar Shabbos. If you're passive, is it schar Shabbos? So, here is discussed. The riff leaves out this whole Gemara about masker guy. So the Ran suggests, you know why? Because nothing's being done. Right? Not doing any. The Jew is not doing anything specifically. So maybe, if it's passive, it's not a problem. So passive. So he says, goes through a couple of tshuvas, but he quotes Ramosha's tshuva. We mentioned this many years ago. Ramosha has a tshuva where he discusses, what about if somebody has a bank account and you gain interest on the bank account? And let's say it's labeled exactly how much interest you got per day. So is that an issue of Schar Shabbos? If you see the Saturday, you know, this is the interest that you get for Saturday, so that's Schar Shabbos. Most of the time, that's worked that way. You don't see per day. You see per month, so it's fine, because weekdays are included. But if you see per day, it's a problem. Right? So Ramosha says maybe it's not a problem. Why? Because they go from midnight to midnight. Their calculations. So Shabbos, really, it's over before, it doesn't go like that. So it's included as mostly Shabbos. So it's part of weekdays. Therefore, it wouldn't be a problem. Right? You get into a problem where you have a couple of days of Shabbat and Yantav together, then it's more of a problem, but it's not on Sunday, so it's only 2 days of Yantav during the week. Rav Moshe goes through all these cases. We think about it. Oh, for A is the Ribbis issue, but let's say it's you get out of that problem. The other is the Sar Shabbos issue, right? Because it's the Isser is on the acceptor. So therefore, that's what it, so why is the Rav Zilberstein bringing that? Because you see from there, that's even passive. Even if a Jew does nothing, it might be an issue of Schar Shabbos. Okay, then he quotes at the end, he quotes some Achronim, he says, he doesn't know if it's appropriate to give children Mamtakim Dafka for doing something on Shabbos. Wow. What a Chiddush. Zeh alalseis liyaladim Mamtakim avor tefillin no esh azalim b'Shabbos. And he, resulting himself, says, who Chiddush Gadol? This Chiddush Gadol. Come on! But this is Schar Shabbos! This is Schar Shabbos. So, anyway, that's what he quotes. Anyway, we continue. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan Vayter. Ein Meshachin Igris B'yad Nachri Be'er of Shabbos, El Imgim Kotzeis Lo Damim. First, they're allowed to send letters unless you specify the price. Kotzeis Lo Damim. Meaning, it's not based on the time, it's based on the job. It's based on the job. And therefore, it's not a problem because he could do it whenever he wants. You didn't have to tell him to do it on Shabbos. Rashi notes, which we're going to see in a minute in the Gemara, that even according to Beis Hillel, if you were not kotzeitz, it could be a problem if you're sending a letter. Beis Shammai omrim kedei sheyagi lebeiso. Beis Shammai says, no, he's got to have enough time to get to his house before. Beis Hillel omrim kedei sheyagi lebeis hasamach lechoma. He's got, no, as long as he gets to get to the first house in town. Follow katzatz. What do you mean? I thought you said according to Beis Hillel, if he has a set price, no problem. If he wasn't, period. I thought the first line said you can't. You can't. And then it says, no, you can if there's a price. So lokasha had to kavia bedor b'masa, for had to lo kavia bedor b'masa. It depends if machlokas Rashi riff what this means. Rashi says it depends if there is a very chashiv person in the city, like the mayor, who gets all the mail, and then everybody gets it after he gets it. So right when you give it to the non-Jew, you can assume he'll dump it in the mayor's house. You won't have to do any malacha afterwards, and then no problem. But if there's no Beidur B'masa, if there's no chasha person, he's got to go search for the house. So there's a better chance that there will be a Chilul Shabbos for you. The Rif says, no, it happened Beidur, like it means Bizman Hazeh. There's one centralized location where you drop off all the mail. Right, same idea. But instead of talking about the person, he talks about the place. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Ein mafligin besvina pach was called gimel yamin called on the Shabbos. Spend a lot of time on this line. The Raisa says you're not allowed to take a boat ride, get on a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. Within 3 days. What does within mean? Thursday, Friday at least. Maybe Wednesday too. So you're not allowed to. Why not? Well, let's just finish the line. This is only for a Dvar Rishus. You're not allowed to get on. I've all a Dvar Mitzvah shopper dummy, but for a Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to. What is the issue that the Gemara is discussing? It is so not clear. What is the issue? Why can't you get on a boat on a Friday? What's the problem? Or on a Thursday? Tosva says, start with one by one. Tosva Zibra Maskel Ein, it's Gezeras Shut. There's a Gezerah mentioned elsewhere that you're not allowed to swim on Shabbos because you might come to build a raft. You're not allowed to go into a raft on a kazda, right? You're not allowed to go. So too, going on a boat, it's an extension of Gezerah of Shut, right? Because if you go in right before Shabbos, you might end up being in there on Shabbos. Afil tochat chum, Tosa says, asa mishum shut, as it says later on. Okay, so Tosa says an issue of Gezerah's Shut. The Rach, Rabbeinu Chananel, says it's an issue of tchum. Maybe you might go outside the Tchum. You might leave on Shabbos, maybe, or stop and go outside the Tchum. So that's Rabbeinu Chananel. If you look in the Rif quotes, most people, for the first 3 days on a boat, they feel seasick. So it's a bittul of Oneg Shabbos, says the Rif. Pretty amazing Shita. Right? You can't put yourself into a situation where you know you're not going to have Oneg Shabbos. Right? That is the Rif on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. That's the Rif. Mishum Bittul Mitzvah Zonik Shabbos. The Kol Gilmul Yamim Havile Shinui Veses. Mishum Nianua Hasvina. Some people, you know, have it even after 3 days. But for sure, during the 3 days. Kidachsiv Yachogu V'yano Kashikar. As the Pasuk says in Gehillim. V'lo yachli l'mebet onik Shabbos. Ulach ha-shloshes yamim havelu naicha. Uboi michla u'mekayim mitzvah onik Shabbos. And that's why, if I had a time to learn mitzvah shari, because it's like, oh, say b'mitzvah. Right? That's why l'shem mitzvah would be okay. Based on this, though, there are a number of posts that point out, a lot of times, parents schedule things for their children on a Friday. Right, on a Friday, because it's a half a day, it's the only time, this and that, a dental appointment, or whatever it is. And again, or any type of operation. You know, I'm going to do it then, so I can have a Shabbos Sunday to recuperate. In this country, just Shabbos, whatever. So, is that really appropriate? I'm dafka putting myself into a situation where I'm not going to have only Shabbos. So it's a balance of, oh, it's the most convenient, so okay, take off a day from work. Right, is that appropriate? But again, this issue comes from the riff right here. The riff that says, Bittel Oneg Shabbos. The most famous shita on this Gemara is the Baal Hamor. We're going to make it famous right now. The Baal Hamor. The Baal Hamor says, Ein mafligin misvino. Why? Says the Baal Hamor, because it could be that the captain, is going to have to be Michal Shabbos for you. If you're on the boat, and within 3 days of Shabbos, you got to start thinking about that. You got to start having a long-term view of your situation. And therefore the Baal Hamor says, you can't go in it previously, a couple of days earlier, because it might end up that you are going to have it be Michal Shabbos for you. Zayin Amad Aleph and the Dafi Arif. Then, in 3 days from now, he's going to have to do malacha for you. But you can't put yourself into a situation which malacha is going to have to be done. This is the large sugya that we had a daf be'in shir about, we've discussed many times. Are you allowed to put yourself into a situation now where you know later on you are going to need to rely on the heter of Tchiyas Yisurin? The main sugya of this is later on in the 19th parak, Rav Elazar de Mila, the sugya called Ishtapich Chamimei. Bizman, HaTalmud, they thought that you had to rinse off the baby after the bris milah with hot water, or else his life was in danger. So he used to prepare hot water before Shabbos. What if the hot water spilled, and there's no more hot water? So do we say that you do the milah anyway on Shabbos, knowing that after the milah, there's going to be pikuach nefesh, and you're going to have to warm up the hot water in order to save the baby? Do we say that? The Ramban says, yes. The Ramban says, Ein l'mitzvah el makom v'shaito. And therefore, you do what is in front of you right now, and later on, there'll be pikuach nefesh. Fine, you warm up the water. The Baal Hamor Lishitaso, over there, in the 19th parak says, no way. You push off the milah. You push off the milah. You can't put yourself into a situation willingly if pikuach nefesh comes up. Okay, it comes up. But if you put yourself into a situation of pikuach nefesh, you got to have a long-term view of mitzvos. That's the machlokas, Baal Hamor and the Ramban. The more common, more well-known cases later on in the 19th parak, but it's the Baal Hamor right here, Lishitaso. Right, you got to have the long-term view of mitzvos. And this is the sugya that comes up. You compare if you have 1 day to get out of jail, to go to a minyan, Machlokas Radvaz and Mechacham Svi, what day do you choose, now or later? Rav Moshe Feinstein, if somebody's going to be quarantined in a hospital, and he knows that everything that he takes into the hospital with him is going to be burned, is he allowed to take his tefillin into the hospital? Because he knows it's going to end up being destroying the tefillin, in many, many topics that relate to this, but this is the Baal Hamor Lishitaso. Baal Hamor Lishitaso, later on in Daf Nun Gimel, in the Daf Yarif, and on Daf Zion, in the Daf Yarif, right here. The Tzom Gedalia Yom Kippur discussion, if I fast on Tzom Gedalia, I'm not going to be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Do I skip it, or do I don't worry about it? So these are all interesting discussions. Okay. We continue. By the way, what's called a dvar mitzvah? What's called a dvar mitzvah in this context? For a dvar mitzvah, it's mutter. Dvar mitzvah is mutter. So it's a fascinating Magen Avraham right here. It's tucked away in Hilchos Shabbos. Magen Avraham has 2 days here whether visiting Eretz Yisrael is considered a mitzvah or not. He has 2 days, right? Is there a mitzvah to visit or is there only a mitzvah to live? Right? You not get any. It's a great thing to visit. You know, it's better than visiting anywhere else in the world. But you get the mitzvah, is it called the Dvar Mitzvah for halachic purposes? That's 2 days in the Magen Avraham right here. 2 days in the Magen Avraham. The Torah also discusses, just to mention, and then we'll continue, what about business? Is that a mitzvah? Making a living. Right, is that a mitzvah? If I'm going to go on a business trip? So Rabbeinu Tam says, yes. Rabbeinu Tam says, or even going to visit a friend. That's Rabbeinu Tam, quoting the Torah in Reish Memchas. Says the Beis Yosef, so what's not a Dvar Mitzvah? You're going to say business is a mitzvah, going to business. What's not a bar mitzvah? What, where you like don't think, you have no reason for getting on a boat, you just walk onto a boat, and you have no purpose at all? Like, what's... So the Beis Yosef is not happy with that extension of the tour, because basically then everything turns into a mitzvah. Halavai on a hashkafic level, everything we do should be a mitzvah. That's true. Right, I'm doing this, l'shem shamayim, but halachically, you know, it's somewhat difficult. Right, he says, kula yisera. He says, rock, the Beis Yosef says, I'll give you one. La'alos la'eretz Yisrael, shapet var mitzvah. There's that I'll give you. But more than that, come on, that's an extension. So, Baruch Hashem. We continue. Says the Gemara, Parshat Lech Lecha, works out. That's the mitzvah. Says the, right, the Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, every Jew has the power to make Aliyah, going back to Avram Avinu. Everybody has the DNA to do it. Says the Gemara, continuing the Brisa. Uposik imo amanas lishbos ve'eno shoves. Interesting that Dafka this week I'm going to Chutz Laretz. Okay. Uposik imo amanas lishbos ve'eno shoves. Divrei Rebbe. And you're allowed to set a price with tell the captain, could you please stop if it's Shabbos and I want you to stop? Could you please stop? And it's, fine. Even though you know he's lying. You know he's not going to stop. It's okay, you did your best. Divrei Rebbe. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't even have to do that. No, you're getting on the boat. Umitzur, let's see, then I feel the Baruch Shabbos Mutter. If it's a short ride, it's Mutter, because you can assume you're going to get there before Shabbos. Okay. Tan Rabbanon. It's your halacha. Sometimes all you got to do is, you know, make the offer. And if it's, or the post can discuss, inviting somebody who you know is going to drive on a Friday night, you let invite them. So some posts can say no. So both can say, no, it's Lifnei Iver. You know, try to be Makari them, not on Shabbos. The problem is, many times, Shabbos is what does it. So that's why a number of posts can say, as long as you make it possible for them not to be Mechalel, you invite them and you say, I have a place for you to sleep Friday night, you make the offer, and the greater good is what is in mind, right? Ultimately, hopefully to be Makari them. So then, the Minhag HaOlam, and Poskim say that would be okay, as long as you may have the option available. Tan Rabbanan, Eitzar Nal Yerah Shel Nachrim, Pachos Bikibu Yom Kodem LaShabbos. What is not allowed to besiege a city within 3 days before Shabbos. Each of the Shitas that we discussed fitted into their reason. Because you're going to have Bitalonik Shabbos, because you have to be Mechal Shabbos, each Shita fits it in. But once they did it, then you don't have to be Mafsik. You don't have to leave the siege. Even on Shabbos. Good. Right back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Rashbag went like Beishama. He didn't give white clothing into the dry cleaner within 3 days of Shabbos. He didn't do that. Tanya, Amr Bitzal the Kachay Minagosho Beishom Gamliel. Show you nose and clean love on the Kobe's Gil Yom and Kodam Shabbos, Vitzvuin Afila Bar of Shabbos. The colored ones took much quicker to clean. White, you got to get really clean. So that he gave a couple of days earlier, but the colored right before Shabbos. Umi Devayam Lamanu Shalavanim Kashim Lakapsan Yosem and Tzvuin. They didn't have bleach in those days. Right? So white is much harder to get clean than colored. Abaya have a Yovli Ahumana. Ditzvia Lakatsra. What time Abaya was giving in clothing to a dry cleaner? Colored clothing. Amrle Kalabaisi Lave. So how much do you want for it? Amrle Kidachivra. So he says, I charge the same for white and colored clothing. Amr Le Karkadmuch Rabbanan. Abaya says, you're a liar. Right? The rabbis have already taught me that white clothing is more difficult to clean. So I'm not paying you the same. Hafochpa vafochpa. Abaya was in the Beis Medrash. He learned about laundromats. Amr Abaya Haiman Diyov Manalakatsra. Somebody who gives money to a washer. B'mishcha Nesavle u'b'mishcha Nishkomine. Measure it when you give it in and measure it when you take it back. Why? The tough tfei, if it's bigger when you get it back, after the demaschid, then he must have stretched it too much. The ibatzir, and if it's smaller, after the kapsi, he must have shrunk it. Right? So either way, make sure, right, try on your clothes before and after, so you know if they're at fault in terms of messing up with your clothing. The Mishnah said that Beishamai agrees that the putting the boards onto the olives or the grapes on Shabbos, that's okay, even before Shabbos. So why? Maishna kulu de gazru bu beishamai. U maishna koras beisabad vi iguli hagad de lo gazru. Why isn't there any sort of shvisas kalim here? Why does beishamai say that this is mutter? So the Gemara says, no, hanach. the earlier cases of Losh and Soveya and Bishol, all those, the other Luhu Bishabas Bachayev Chadas, if you would do them actually on Shabbos, it's a Chayev Chadas, Gozru Behu Beishamai Erev Shabbos Bechashecha. So Beishamai was Gozru in those cases. Koros Beisa Barvi Guli Agat, but putting on these large slabs onto grapes and olives that have already started oozing out, that's only innocent to Rabbanan. De'i avilu b'shabbos lo mechayev chatas lo gazru, and therefore he didn't make such a gzeira. This is important for the, we said all of them in the Mishnah Chashas Daraisa, one of them was not clear. Remember which one? The tzeda one, the trapping one. That's what Tosfos said. Even if you put out a trap on Shabbos, is that Daraisa? It could be if the animal comes right away. But Pashas in this Gemara is that all the cases b'shamei only asr shvisas kalim. If had you done it on Shabbos, it would be Daraisa. Who is the one that says that anything that happens by itself, you're passive. It's passive, right? All you're doing is you're putting the wood on, and then the oozing is happening by itself. Who says that that's okay? That's not a problem, right? That's not an issur d'oraisa on Shabbos, shaper dummy. So a couple of suggestions. First, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shmali. Rabbi Shmuel sheets it's non. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Mishnah in Maseches Idios, Hashum v'haboser v'hamalilos. Garlic, unripe grapes, and unripe grain, shariskan mibodion, that you started grinding them on Friday. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, yigmar mitadechshach. You could finish grinding them and crushing them afterwards, right? Because it already started going out. It would go out anyway. You're just hastening it a little bit. That's not the malacha. That's not a malacha in this context. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo yigmar. No, you should not. No, you shouldn't. Asur, Rashi says, Asur lanichem odyom, you can't leave it. So Rabbi Shmuel is the man to Amar Var Mishnah, that if you would do it by itself, it wouldn't be a malacha anyway. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Elazar hi. Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's a Elazar shita. Rashi points out that it's a funny line. Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, it's Rabbi Elazar the Tana. Right, Rashi knows that that's unusual. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says later on, here in Shabbos, Chalos Dvashe Rizkan Be'erev Shabbos, V'yatzo Me'atzman Asur, if you have honeycombs that started getting crushed on Friday, and it started going out by itself, Asur, it's Asur, too, anything that flows out in it, flows out from it on Shabbos, is Asur to eat, V'rebelazer Matir, is Matir, because it came out by itself, it's okay. So two opinions. Which is the shita that holds if something happens with Melitz Mutter? Either Rabbi Yishmael by the previous crushing case, or Rabbi Lazar by this case of the honeycomb. So why didn't each shita say like the other one? Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, my time of the Amar Kribbe Lazar. Why did shita A not say like shita B? Amar Lecha, he'll say, Hasam over there by the honeycomb, it's not a parallel case. Hasam hu demei kara ochel basof ochel. There, it started off as ochel, and it ended up as ochel. It's food. It's food is food. It's an ochel. It's not a mashke. Hacha meikar ochel v'hashta mashke. But here, what we're talking about is mashke. Right? They're coming out of the grapes and the olive. So we want a more parallel case. So the previous case was more parallel. Rebbe Lazar amalacha. Hashemin elei Rebbe Lazar. Tafilu zeis v'anavim namishari. What do you mean? I have a source that he says it even by zeis v'anavim. Even by actual liquid. Tatchiyasa Rav Oshia min Arda. This is the sugya later on of Schitas Peris. That's that sugya. Asav Aisi Masisa Biyade. He brought a brisa with him that said, Zeisim Va'anavin Shariska Me'er of Shabbos, V'yatsu Me'atman Azurin. Crush Me'er of Shabbos, and went up by itself as Asar, Rav Lazar Vesher Matirin. See, Rav Lazar says it even by liquids. Right, so no problem. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Brisa Lo Shamile. He never heard of that Brisa. That's why he didn't say it. But either way, that is all why Shita A did not say like Shita B. Right? Fine. Just one Ha'ara. The Tosfos Rid here asks, one second, the honey here, the honey coming out of the honeycomb, what did the Gemara say? Beforehand it was an Ochel and afterwards it was an Ochel. Isn't Dvash one of his seven Mashkim that's Machshir L'Kabel Tuma? Dvash Dvorim. Not Dvash Tamarim. Right, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about Dvash Dvorim, bee honey. Isn't that one of the seven liquids? Right, in the Pasuk of Eretz Levas Chalav Udvash, that's Dvash Tamarim. But in the seven liquids, right, the gook that comes out of dates, that's not a liquid, right? But in the context of the seven liquids of Yad Shach Adam, that's Dvash Dvorim. So it's a liquid. How can you say Mikar Ochel Sof Ochel? So says the Tosfos Rid, it halachically is an ochel, but it's not normally drunk. You don't drink honey. And that's all you need for here. He's just saying, it's not normally drunk, and therefore, the halachas might not be the same in terms of what oozes out on Shabbos. You're right, halachically is an ochel. But on Shabbos, that's not you. Meaning, you don't compare Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara and Hilchos Shabbos. It's an important Tosfos read. Shad Dvash V'Hachem Shiva Mashkin. So, Haidekar Le Ochla Klomar Ain Derech Olam Lishtos Dvash. El Alocha Boy De'atibol. That's all it means here. Okay, but he makes that's an important Ha'ara to be aware of.
The point is that whatever it was before, it still is after.
Whatever it was before, it still is after,
so it's not but it's
whatever, meaning it's the same, and therefore you can't bring that as a model for our case. You can't bring that as a model. Okay. What about the other sheet? Rabbi Elazar, my time, Alamak, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't sheet two say like sheet number one? What's wrong with the previous case of the crushing? Amar lecha, lav itmar Allah, amar Rava bar Chanina, amar Rabbi Yochanan. No, because we learned as follows. There are three stages in crushing items, crushing grain. There are three stages. Rashi explains here. Risuk is the first stage, stage one of crushing, merusak, then miducha, dicha, and then shchika. Those are the three stages of crushing. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the muchasarin dicha tkulam lo pliki. If only stage one is done, and not even stage two, then everybody agrees that that's usur. Because it's not considered as if it's coming out already. You can't leave that on Shabbos. Even Beishai is already gets usur. Ki pliki be muchasarin shchika. The machlokas is if stage two was done already, and you just didn't do stage three yet. Muchasarin shchika. That's the machlokas over there with Rabbi Yishmael. But our case, Vahani nami kumusar and dichadamu. But our case is missing stage two. You only did stage one. That's why it's not a parallel case. You can't bring Rabbi Yishmael's context, the Mishnah from Idias, because there, first two stages were done. In our Mishnah, only stage one was done. So it's not a parallel. Horror, Rabbi Yosi Rechanina, Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Rabbi Yosi Rechanina even passing like Rabbi Yishmael. Period. Other issues of once we're talking about wine and grapes and the other issues of wine presses, we generalize, we're talking about another sugya. Shemen shalbadadin, the oil that's left over in the olive press after most of the oil was taken out. Umachsalo shalbadadin, or the mats that they used to use, that the badadin used to use, that they used to cover their olives with. Rav asar, Rav says they're muksa. Muksa! We haven't had muksa yet in this mesechta, I don't think. It's going to come up a lot. Rav asar Shmuel Shari. Shmuel says it's mutter. It's muksa! What's the issue? What muksa probably machmas isser, right? Because it's used isser. It's usually used to press with. Hani krache dezuze. If somebody has a certain type of mats that Rashi says they used to cover the cargo with on a boat, certain types of krache dezuze. Rav aser shmuel shari. Again, Rav said, oh, it's aser shmuel says it's mutter. Amar of not. Why? Again, muksa. Muksa. What muksa are we talking about here? This line is not clear, right? Which muksa? Tosfos says. Tosfos in the first wide line, muksa machmas mius. It's disgusting. It was on the car. It was on the cargo, and there might have been dirty cargo. Tosfos says the issue is muksa machmas mius. Others don't like that because everybody agrees to muksa machmas mius. How could you have a machlokas about that? The Rashba says that right, he has another pshat. The Ritva suggests maybe it's chesron kiss. Maybe it can't be chesron kiss. Many, there are 10 different types of muksas that hopefully we'll get to later on in the Masechta, but this is a muksa issue. Amar Rav Nachman, the third case, Eiz L'chalava, if you have a goat that's used for milking, V'rachel L'gizasa, and a rachel for shearings, V'tarnagolos L'beitzasa, and a chicken that used to lay eggs, V'torei L'radi, and an ox to plow with. All these cases, you're not going to shecht it. You don't have in mind to shecht these animals, on Yontif, let's say. V'tamari de'iska, or dates that you're going to use for business. So Rav Aser Shmuel Amar Mutter. In all these cases, Rav says they're Aser because they have no usage for you right now. You can't shecht it. You're not planning to shecht it. And Shmuel says Mutter. V'kamif l'gi b'plukted Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. And all these, Rav and Shmuel are arguing about Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon throughout this Masechta, Emesechas Beitza. The Gemara says Reb Yehuda holds a muksa, Reb Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. But the Rishonim all point out. That does not mean that Reb Shimon rejects muksa. It just means he has less forms of muksa. And whenever there's going to be an issue, Reb Yehuda is going to be the more machber one, and Reb Shimon is going to be more maker one. We pass him like Reb Shimon. We still have a lot of muksas. We pass him like Reb Shimon. So it just means that there are less muksas that we hold them, and that's what Rav holds like Reb Yehuda, and Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon throughout. Period. Ha'u talmida da'ori b'charsa da'argis. Reb Shimon, there was a student in charsa da'argis. That pass him like Reb Shimon. Shamte Reb Amnuna. I'm going to put him in Chayrim. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon's fear one. What, just because he held like Reb Shimon? You put him in Chayrim. But Asri the Rav Havei. No, because Rav was the Rosh Hashiva there. Rav held like Reb Yehuda. And therefore, you shouldn't go like some, like, against the Mar da Asra. Hani, Trey Talmidi, Chan Matzah, B'chad Manah, V'chad Matzah, B'arba, V'chamish Mani. There were two Talmidim, once we're talking about what Talmidim did. There was a fire on Shabbos, Rahman al-Islam. And one of them saved in one kli, one of them saved in four or five kalim. The kamiflagi, but plugged the drab barzav de refuna. And the machlokas between them was the machlokas that we're going to have, Bez Hashem, later on. A sugi that's going to come up later on, daf kufchaf, you see, in a while, 100 blot from now. Right, but that's, so two Talmidim argued how you're allowed to save items on Shabbos, obviously if there's no sakana safashis. If there's sakana safashis, just get out of there and leave. But if there's no sakana, the Gemara discusses exactly what you're allowed to save, how you're allowed to save it, where you're allowed to save it to. That's a sugya later on that these Talmidim, argued about. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Again, Mux is a big issue. We just started it, but Be'ez Hashem, we will continue. Parsha Shir is tonight. Parsha Shir is tonight. Parsha Shir is tonight. Okay.